Hi, everyone. Welcome to this exciting bonus episode of the Spark with Shireen podcast stream. It's Shireen with you, and I'm delighted to bring you this webinar replay that'll ignite, hopefully, your content marketing journey. Now, before we delve in, I have some exciting news to share with you. As a valued listener, I wanted to give you an exclusive sneak peek into an upcoming program that's designed to take your content marketing skills literally to the next level. We have a new program called Strategize, Create, and Publish Winning Content with No Media Experience in Just 4 Weeks. Now, as the name suggests, this 4-week program is tailor-made for early-stage companies like yours aiming to establish a robust content marketing strategy across editorial, video, as well as audio platforms. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about the program. It's a blend of live classroom sessions conducted online. At the end of each workshop, I'll give you a comprehensive workbook that will allow you to customize the learnings to suit your company's needs. And then later that week, we'll meet for a personalized one-on-one office hour where you can refine your strategy under my guidance. This program will equip you with all that and more, and it will empower you to take your content marketing game to new heights. Now, you might be wondering how to get more information about this opportunity. Have details. All you have to do is visit sparkstudiosgroup.com/launchpad. Now we'll add this URL in the show notes, and if you visit it, you'll find more information about the program schedule, pricing, and literally everything else you need. But you need to act fast. Our first cohort starts July 4th, and it'll run through the end of the month till July the 28th, 2023. Now, as for this bonus episode, it's a recording of a webinar, and I'll equip you with the essential strategies and tools to grow your brand without any prior marketing experience. Yes, you heard that right, no marketing experience. Whether you're a seasoned marketer or beginning your entrepreneurial journey, this blueprint is designed to empower you and take your brand to new heights. Once again, I'm thrilled to have you here, and I know you're in for an incredible learning experience, so let's get started. In today's webinar, we'll be taking you through the blueprint we at Spark Studios have been able to apply to double our clients' audience using content marketing. And many of these people have been able to do it without any marketing experience, and myself as a content creator included. I actually had no marketing experience before I got into production and writing and creation. And I fundamentally believe that anyone who is willing to learn can apply the same learnings as well. So I'll be teaching you everything you need to know in the next 30 minutes with the promise that you please don't use these powers for evil, only do it for the good of your business. Now, who stands to benefit from content marketing? A whole bunch of companies, or types of companies really, people as well, largely information businesses that want to sell digital products, high growth companies that are looking to accelerate the way that they acquire customers, even brick and mortar stores. So these are traditional companies that are not necessarily online who want to attract footfall into their retail, conglomerates at large who are looking to increase brand awareness, and then onto the individuals, creators. This would be the likes of influencers and podcasters and YouTubers who are looking to grow an audience large enough that they can monetize. And even for executives who are not individually becoming influencers, but who are looking to build their personal brand and become experts in their fields. Really, probably anyone listening to this call will stand to benefit from the benefits of content marketing. Now, if you stay until the end, I promise you a little gift. What I'll do is I'll share with you a link to book a 30-minute call so that you take all of the learning that you get today and we can discuss how you can hash it out in your business or your creator product or whatever it is that you really want to discuss. Now, before you listen to me for the next 30 minutes, I actually want to explain to you why you should be listening to me as an authority in content marketing. Firstly, by way of introduction, hi, everyone. My name is Shireen. I know I did not get the chance to introduce myself in the beginning, but I effectively build content. I create content for companies. Now, I happen to specialize in the business, finance, and tech industries and have worked with some very notable and big names in VC and in fintech in the Middle East and globally. And a lot of people really like the content that I create, both for myself under my brand or for my clients. And so I'd like to think that a lot of what we create resonates and is engaging by way of feedback, but also when you look at the audience growth numbers and engagement numbers, because, you know, everything is very data driven. Really, you can tell that content marketing lands. Now, going back to how you can double your content, how you can double your audience using content marketing without any experience in marketing, you first need to know that to be able to do this, there are some myths we must dispel. All right. Now, there are three common beliefs that people who are not yet in content marketing kind of have on top of their minds that may be stopping them from taking the plunge. And I'm going to take you through what these limiting beliefs are, because we're then going to dispel them. Firstly, content marketing and marketing at large is expensive. That is myth number one. Myth number two is that AI is a threat. Honestly, on the news this morning, all I've been hearing is ChatGPT and the threat and how it's going to replace jobs. And don't worry, by the end of today, you will come to realize that it's really more a tool that you can leverage as opposed to it being a threat that you should be afraid of. And the third limiting belief is that paid marketing will generate you more results than organic marketing. And organic marketing tends to be the majority of content marketing efforts. Now, before we jump into how we can dispel these beliefs, I first want to break down what exactly is content marketing. Because once you know what content marketing really is, you can then go and embark effectively. Now, if we were to break down the words content and marketing, content effectively means information, whereas marketing individually means acquiring customers. So if you put the two together, content plus marketing, you'll see that it effectively means acquiring customers by sharing information. But there's a catch. You can't go put information out there in the world and expect it to just stick. You need to put the right information in the right method that your audience wants to absorb the information in. So going back to content marketing, you need to first identify what is the information that your audience actually wants to consume. Secondly, figure out how do they typically like to consume content, meaning in what channels and what formats. So do they listen to video? Do they watch video? Do they listen to audio? Do they read? Do they consume short form, long form? Are they on TikTok? Are they on Spotify? Figure out where they are. And then once you know what they actually want to hear, so what are the types of questions that really keep them up at night? What are they putting in a Google search box or putting in Bard or ChatGPT that they want answers to? And then provide them that information. And one thing you really, really need to kind of understand is that often the kind of information that your customers want is not always the type of information you think they want to hear. So it may seem like marketing 101, but going about doing your market research and figuring out exactly what information they want is very critical to nailing content marketing. Now, assuming you've done your homework, there really is three secrets that marketers know that they use to create engaging content. And the fact is that anyone can access these three secrets. And they're very modern day secrets. So the first one is that, going back to it being expensive, you can absolutely do it on the cheap and do it well. That means that you can produce really, really studio quality videos and graphics to put on social media, your blog, your website, and honestly for less than $100 using the various tools, and I'll take you through what they are. Secret number two is that you can actually save time creating content, particularly copy and written form content for your blog and newsletters, using free tools like Bard and ChatGPT that are generative AI models. And secret number three is that, no, you do not need to spend tons of money on paid ads. You can absolutely nurture leads and convert them into paying customers organically using content. Now, I'll be taking you through each secret one by one and kind of delve into this a little bit. And secret number one was being able to produce studio quality video and graphic content for less than $100. Now, if you was to take the production process and break it up, step number one would be planning what kind of content you want to create. Step two would be making the content. Step three would be editing it and packaging it in a way that is easy to consume and pretty to look at or listen to. And then four is actually publishing it. So putting it on a distribution platform that will eventually reach your customers. Now, to plan, all you need is a notebook or a planner. Now, you can be digital and use apps like Notion or Google Sheets, all of which have free versions. Or you can be old school and get a good old-fashioned pen and paper, which is my personal preference. Now, once you get to planning, figuring out what are your content pillars, meaning what kind of topics do you talk about as a creator or as a brand, and then figuring out if these are the answers to what your audience wants, and then figuring out what the content is going to look like. Step two is actually putting it together and making it. Now, when it comes to video these days, all you need is your phone, quite basically anything with a camera. In fact, even using my laptop, the webinar that I'm delivering to you right now, I can then take the recording and chop into reels and post it on Instagram. It has become so accessible to record video content that you don't need to go to a studio anymore and invest in very expensive film grade cameras. Now, keeping in mind that you, at the end of the day, the audience here on the webinar, is likely a business or creator that is distributing content on small screens like laptops and phones and that type of thing. And of course, when it comes to graphical content these days, really all you need is a laptop as well. Now, when it comes to editing, there are so many free tools, free with some paid versions, of course, with more premium kind of features, that'll help you make this content. No longer do you need to be a sound designer or a graphic designer by trade who has extensive experience with Adobe to create things that will look good and that'll represent your brand in a good light. And lastly, when it comes to publishing, all you need is really an account on these platforms and be able to just hit publish. You really don't need to go to an agency to publish on your behalf on platforms like LinkedIn or to create a newsletter that'll go out. Now, of course, this is the basic that you need, which means that you can get going with this today right after the webinar. Many of these tools are free or under $100. You can, of course, level up. Now, if you're willing to invest a little bit, and this is what I do with my stack personally, is first off, planning is one and the same. Planning you can do using your digital planners, paper planners. But then when it comes to making, if you want to go one notch higher, and by higher, I mean more studio grade quality, you can invest in a pretty basic webcam. And webcams these days are under, let's say, $200. And these are the types of things that gamers attach to their laptop in order to stream. Now, if you want to go one level higher, you can invest in DSLRs, which are those cameras that people kind of, you may see them taking photographs with, but they're also used for video. And these nowadays really, really range. So if you look at Sony grade cameras, they nowadays make a vlogging camera that is under 2000 dirhams through to very, very expensive pro cameras that go up to about 15,000. But honest to God, these days, your phone that you likely have is good enough to produce content. These are only optional if you want to level it up one notch higher. Now, when you record video, more often than not, you're also recording audio. Yes, in your laptop and your phone, you have built-in mics, but buying an external mic is something that you may want to do and that you may want to consider. But trust me, you don't need it for good quality content. Even as I speak to you now in my webinar, I'm speaking to you through my laptop mic, and trust me, it works like a charm. Now, your iPad can also come in really handy for those who want to create graphics. What I personally do is a combination of creating on my desktop and then exporting it to my iPad, particularly if I want to do hand-drawn elements using my stylus pen. It is optional. Now, when it comes to editing, you can use, let's say, more tailored programs to help you customize your end product with branding in mind. And you can go very kind of accessible and use Canva. In fact, the entire presentation that I made for today is made on Canva, and I'm using the Canva software to project the webinar to you right now, or go one notch more advanced and do Adobe. And then to support with publishing, if you don't want to hit publish yourself or schedule things directly into the Meta app or the LinkedIn or Twitter apps, you can also use various softwares like Later that will kind of help you figure things out, like the optimal time to post, who your demographics are, and to schedule things with like a month in advance bird eye view. But onto that, I just want to give you a quick overview of what this would look like in terms of gear. Now, what you probably have is your laptop, phone, and sunlight. And honestly, that's all you need to get to creating, whether it's video content that you put up on YouTube or Instagram, even podcasts nowadays, you can edit into Spotify's editing app and distribute to Spotify directly. And if you're looking to create visually good looking things, all you really need is the natural sunlight. If you were to go out and record during the day, you would get the best exposure possible, probably even brighter than any kind of studio environment. Now, if you were to add one gear that you may not typically have, really all I recommend is a tripod. And I recommend you get a tripod for your iPod, for your phone. That way, when you're recording, you can stabilize it and put it up. And tripods these days cost less than, I want to say, $20. And that's it. That's really, really all you need. However, like I mentioned, if you do want to experiment with different quality products, and if you want to go one notch higher, there's a whole range of different DSLR lenses, gimbals to stabilize the footage, wireless mics, shotgun mics so that they're out of shot, lighting, and all these things that I'd be more than happy to kind of share with you what's in my gear bag. And when it comes to software, what you probably have and that is already for free are tools like ChatGPT and Bard, which you could use for editorial content, MailChimp to send newsletters. And then what I really personally recommend is if you're hosting any kind of a blog or a website, do it on a tool like Wix, use a more sophisticated email automating tool like ConvertKit. That's what we use. You probably as well have access to a free Gmail, but if you want to be able to use something with a personal domain, you can get that done for very cheaply using Google Suites and Canva. Honestly, Canva solves a lot of my design requirements these days, and they even have stock music, video, pictures that you don't have to kind of go filtering through other platforms. Now, if you do want to do things that are a little bit more customized and have more options, there are also some other nice to have softwares that I use. I personally really, really love Adobe. And then there's other stock libraries like Storyblocks. I personally also use Headliner to make audiograms for podcast marketing. Otter is a tool I really, really love for transcriptions. There's Riverside that I use to record podcast conversations. Pro tip in the UAE, it's blocked, but you can use a VPN. Don't tell anyone I told you that. Buzzsprout is a platform I use to host and distribute platforms. Motionary is where I go to find cool video transitions for all of the YouTube videos that we create. And last but not least, I ping my team all day long on Slack. So once you become more than a one man or a one woman show, I recommend having a very efficient communication platform as well. So that kind of wraps up secret number one. Now on to secret number two, and I've alluded to this already, is that generative AI tools, as intimidating they may be, that they're there to take your job as a creator, they're really, really not. They're your friend and not foe. And I highly encourage that you learn how to leverage this tool to your advantage and use that to effectively become a better creator and a better content marketer. And it's really, really quite effective. I personally use ChatGPT to help me with writer's block. Let's say I want to get down and write something. I first kind of type in what I have in mind into ChatGPT, and at minimum, it helps me ideate, gives me that baseline that I can then add. And last but not least, sometimes I think in a very unstructured way. So even if I get to writing, ChatGPT can then become my editor. So I would copy paste what I write in there, and I ask ChatGPT to then improve this for clarity or brevity. And really, the secret sauce comes down to the prompts you give it. The more specific the prompts, the better the outcome is, in the sense that it's not just the same output that, let's say, anyone can get. It becomes more specific to you, your thoughts, and really, really leverages your specific tone of voice. Now, this is a template that I have found really works for me. So whenever I look to create something that I don't really want people to know that is something that generic generative AI wrote, I first tell ChatGPT to imagine they are a particular avatar or persona, and I specifically say what kind of tone of voice I want them to portray. Now, a lot of my content happens to be very humor-driven and funny, so I always ask ChatGPT to write things in a very lighthearted way. And then here's the key. I give it my unstructured notes. I literally just type in everything that's in my mind without really any headlines or formatting and structure. And this is really important because that is how ChatGPT will take what you put in there to really, really kind of customize your original or better your original thought, as opposed to just taking generic things that it may spit out as output for other people. And then I tell it, okay, here's all the unstructured notes that I have. This is the tone of voice and persona I want you to regurgitate this in, and I want you to give me an output that is X. So create blank for me and show it to me in this format. So blank would be something like a proposal or a report. And then format would be, for example, if I was to ask it to create social media captions, I would say, create two columns, left column for captions, right column for hashtags, things like that. And in that matter, it becomes super, super, super effective. Now onto secret number three, which is being able to create traffic and leads to your business using organic marketing. And trust me, you can definitely do this without having to rely solely on paid ads. Now, the first thing you want to do is, going back to what I said earlier, figure out what are the questions that keep your customers up at night. What is their preferred way of learning about the answers and then pumping out the content? Now, the idea is that people come across your content and then eventually you become an authority in that area. And over time, the more you appear in front of them in that subject matter, you become top of mind until eventually you become the expert on that subject matter. And then the next time they're looking for an answer to their solution in that realm, you are already top of mind and they actually come to you to help them solve their problem. Spark Studios, for example, puts a lot of content out there in the world that is about how to create business media. And over time, a lot of people I realized would reach out to me and say, hey, you talk a lot about business, you speak a lot about media, you share case examples of what you help your clients achieve. We have questions around building content. Can we have a talk? And that's how you nurture clients over the long run, as opposed to just bombarding them with ads when they're not necessarily out there looking for you. So if you were to look at your content funnel, content marketing is a way to help people develop awareness of you. And once you capture them in your funnel, nurture them ideally through more content marketing to garner interest in what it is that you have to offer. So that eventually, once you become top of mind and they're looking for a solution provider to their problem, they consider you, they have that conversation, and then you can convert them into a paying customer. Now, that being said, this is the difference in marketing between push and pull marketing. Push is when you're kind of putting content out there for people to receive. And then pull is when you're trying to pull in customers who are not necessarily already in your spectrum of audience. I have up here an example of how a beauty brand, which a lot of you may know of, called Sephora, does paid and organic marketing. So if you look at the left-hand side, this is a screenshot of a sponsor ad that Sephora put into my Instagram feed. As you can see, it kind of looks like an ad. Now, these days, the way you go about making seamless ads is to create ads that look as if a user created it on the platform. That way, instead of kind of scrolling and feeling like you're looking at a billboard, you come across a piece of content that you think someone else on Instagram has put on there. But nevertheless, as you can see, it looks more like an ad. Whereas if you look to the screenshot on the right-hand side, this is something posted on the Sephora, or it's a video, it's a reel actually posted on the Sephora platform that is what it looks like, user-generated content. But it's a video of a customer showcasing a product, or maybe an influencer. But the idea is that you can see just by looking at these two, the left-hand side looks very ad and salesy, whereas the right-hand side looks a little bit more approachable, looks like something you want to engage with. So if not done correctly, if paid is not made to seem like organic in an on a platform that typically has has mostly, non-sponsored content, you risk your ad standing out. Now, if you happen to be walking down the mall and you see a big sign that looks like the one to the left, you may not be as bothered because you're in a mall, and I, as Shireen, may not necessarily post photos up on the mall or rent billboard space to put up content there. But this is really the difference between push and pull. Paid ads can sometimes come across as intrusive and annoying, whereas organic content can eventually pull customers who are interested in your product into your funnel, so that eventually the likelihood of even converting them can be higher if nurtured correctly. Now, moving on, that's not to say that you shouldn't have paid advertising at all. When it comes to secret number three, the idea is to understand the difference between paid and organic, and to actually factor that into your marketing mix. Now, what do I mean by marketing mix? Typically, when going about just your generic marketing strategy, you'll come to know that there are three main categories of marketing. One is outdoor, the second is indoor, and the third is digital. Now, outdoor is typically billboards, right? So you're driving down a big highway out on Sheikh Zayed, and you see a big billboard, an ad, and that is effectively paid. It's paid for by the companies that want to put their ad there. And, you know, it's expected. You're driving down the road, no one's putting ads up for free. Indoor goes back to the example I mentioned earlier. Let's say you're walking in the mall, as a lot of people out in the Middle East do, and you come across screens and posters outside of stores, and these are also paid for by the brands or by the mall. Digital, now, though digital has a lot of organic content, there is also quite a fair amount of paid content on digital channels like your phone and the internet. And these effectively are ads that appear like on YouTube or LinkedIn or even paid search. So when you're looking for something like, let's say, best croissant in Dubai in Google, Google actually ranks higher in your search the companies that have paid for those keywords. Now, that being said, organic marketing modern days really, really falls in the digital sense. And that could still be social media content that you create without boosting it. That could include your website. So your website is the first place that people go to, and you have an awesome shot of making a really good first impression if done correctly. Email marketing is an amazing owned medium channel. It's a fantastic way, provided that, of course, you haven't bought your list and that people have opted into your email. It's a fantastic way to communicate directly and regularly to your clients, and then check your open rates to see if you're actually converting and providing the right information. Podcasts have been tremendously growing in popularity since 2020. It's really, really a very intimate form of media where you literally sometimes feel like you're in someone's living room, eavesdropping on a conversation, and then that creates a great bond between the show hosts and the audience, which can nurture conversion. Blogs are basically content that is updated quite frequently on a company's website. But these days, blogs are really, really multimedia. Gone are the days of just text, because frankly, people don't really want to read or have the attention span for long form text. You have the opportunity to integrate graphics in there. You have the opportunity to integrate audio players, video players, that type of thing. And then the more frequently you update blog content, the more likely you are to go higher in your SEO rankings as well. And last but not least, white papers. White papers are super popular, especially for corporations, to pump out thought leadership and then distribute it through press and the medium in order to establish themselves as thought leaders. Now, that being said, digital is super measurable and personalized, which is why they work. Now, what do I mean by measurable? You can actually see how many people open your content, click your content, or following your platform, whereas outdoor and indoor is quite hard to measure. And the reason this is important is because then it'll allow you as a marketer to define your marketing budget a lot better. And the ability to actually know who is receiving your content, whether it's paid data organic and to make it personal using the data platforms that are out there is really good. Because let's face it, if someone calls you by your name, you're more likely to turn around and see what it is that they want, as opposed to someone who just says, hey, you, and not actually mentioning you by name. So effectively, you'll find that nowadays a lot of companies approach digital media, whether paid or organic, and really the right thing to do as a secret is to consider it all, figure out what is your strategy as a company, and divide your resources accordingly. Now, 30 minutes is up, and as I promised, I told you that I wanted to share with you the three secrets that will help you create better content in 30 minutes. That being said, I do also really want to engage with the people who are looking to learn more about content marketing. So I first want to kind of ask for everyone's permission to go on and share with you a little bit more about a project we're launching here at Spark Studios, and to see if you wanted to be involved so that we can kind of delve in more detail and really, really get content marketing working for you. And what we're launching next month is effectively a launch pad. Now, we're calling this a content marketing launch pad. And the idea is that we want to help you not only strategize what kind of content you want to create for your company, but to also create it under our supervision, and then give you all the resources you need, the blueprint you need to publish it and get going and building your audience. And it's a 4-week long program that'll be running all throughout July. Now, what will this look like? Every week, there's going to be 1 2-hour classroom session where you learn in a cohort, you take the information you need, and then we go on and we give you workbooks. You go and with your team, you hash out the different things you need in order to get ahead with that particular topic. And then at the end of the week, you have one-on-ones. Now, this really is kind of the best of all worlds, because you get to benefit from live Q&A with a cohort. You get to engage in a classroom environment, but then you still get very, very detailed feedback and a detailed blueprint on what you as a company need in order to go and launch your content marketing. And obviously, because we have been doing this for a lot of your peers out in the region, I really, really do believe that our one-on-one support would be super important. Now, the kind of topics we'll be covering are things like an introduction to content marketing. So kind of what I took you through today, but in more detail, and then how to take all this learning and actually put together a strategy. So figuring out what are their personas, what's your competition doing, what's working for them, and then what you can adopt for you. And then we'll delve into the forms of content that work, starting with blogs, because I fundamentally believe everyone should have a blog, every company. What are the other types of editorial content, graphic content that you can build, video, podcasting? We'll really tell you everything you need in order to get going, what are the tools you need, how to edit, how to publish, all of that. And then we'll wrap up by sharing what does content operations look like. So what would it look like if you were to do it in-house, out-house? What's the gear you need? What's it like building a calendar, that type of stuff. So I hope you think it sounds pretty exciting. Now, here's a little bit about what you're going to get. The value of the 2-hour classroom sessions, the workbooks, the one-on-one office hours is valued at around 15,000 dirhams. Now, for everyone who will be participating in cohort 1, because it's our first cohort, we're also going to give them a whole bunch of bonuses. And these bonuses will include all of the recordings from the classrooms into an online library. We'll give you all of the material in an ebook. We'll also be going to give you a playbook on how other companies and your peers in the industry have taken that learning and made content marketing work for them, as well as put you all in a private online community so that you can grow and learn from each other, plus lifelong learning. So every time we do another cohort, we'll be giving you all the updated course material. Now, this has a certain value, but for everyone who's on the call right now, we're giving this at a discount. And that's honestly because now I've been doing content for the last 2 years for a lot of companies out here in the region, but the fact is that these companies are funded. I get a lot of founders that are first time that have not necessarily raised yet, or creators that come to me saying, hey, I really want to learn how to do content marketing right. And I realize that if you put everyone in a room and make everything accessible from a time point of view and pool all the resources, you can really, really make content marketing accessible for everyone. Now, the cohort starts July 4th, all the way through the end of the month. And really, if all you did was set your content strategy for the year, would definitely be worth it. If you had a 6-month plan on how to go about actually growing your audience, that would be worth it. And lastly, if you put together the resources or outline of the resources that you need, that would also be worth it. And for the first 50 people that sign up, we're giving 50 hours of free one-on-one office hours that they could avail throughout the rest of the year, so that if they do want our guidance as the year progresses, as they're rolling out their strategy, we are here and we're available for them. Now, that being said, we really want this to be a no-brainer. So for everyone who signs up, if within the first week of the program, you realize that, you know what, this program is not for me, you get your money back, no questions asked. And the truth is really, do you want to do nothing and not take the leap of faith, or apply what you learn, which will pay for itself the minute you start your content flywheel and you acquire leads? Now, enrollment is going to be up whilst I run Q&A. We'll have about 15 minutes. If you want to access the website, you can either type in the URL or scan. And with that, I've been talking for a very long time, so I'm going to open the floor up for questions. It was nice to meet you all, by the way. Thank you very much for tuning in. So I'm going to pull up the question panel. Okay. So we have a question that has come in that says, how do you find out information your customers want? Now, you can go about it a few ways. If you are out on the field having client calls and, like the way I would do it is, when I go out and I speak to people about content marketing, as much as it is about me sharing my insights and the industry know-how, I also really pay attention to what they have to say. So yes, you can talk endlessly, but then you can also take a step back like I'm doing now and see what are the type of questions that people ask. And being on the ground and actually engaging with clients or prospect clients, listening to what they have to say, is one step in the right direction to kind of figuring out, okay, well, what are the questions that they have? What do they want the answers to? And then the other way to do it, which is a little bit more, I would say, kind of marketing 101, is to send out a questionnaire or survey or that type of thing, where it's a little bit more mass, but you're able to reach people in a more scalable way without actually having to rely on these one-on-one meetings. The other thing you can do is talk to other peers in your network. So a lot of industries will have meetups and networking opportunities where the idea is that you go and you meet people that, you know, could be your competitors, but while speaking about the industry and industry trends, you could discuss kind of what keeps both of your clients and audiences up at night and see if they have insights that you may not particularly have insights to. So moving on to the next question. How do you find content for your newsletter if you can't afford a team of journalists? Okay, so I'm going to approach this question in two ways, or in two, let's say I'm going to divide it in two. One is, how do you find content? And the other one is about resource management. So finding content actually ties back up to the first question, which is, how do you know what are the questions that keep your customers up at night? So I typically put together, let's say, a step one is figuring out what are your content pillars. Now, what do I mean by content pillars? These are sets of categories of topics that you as a brand or as a creator put out there in the world. Now, this is important in brand building because you don't want to be putting random content out because that confuses your audience. They may not necessarily know what your brand stands for, what your brand values stand for, and then they may not stick or be retained as prospects and, you know, therefore go further down the tunnel. So step one is figuring out and doing this exercise of, okay, what are the questions that keep my customers up at night? And then actually bucketing them. So when you bucket them into categories, this effectively becomes your content pillars. Now, once you know what your content pillars are, you then can break those up into lots of little sub questions. For example, one of the content pillars of Spark Studios is content creation. So me and my team sit together and figure out, okay, within the category of content creation, what are some more detailed and one level down questions that we could create more content on? And it could be things like what video software to use, what mics to use, things like, you know, is is audio podcasting over, and is the future of podcasting video? So that's kind of what I mean by going one level down. And I do this exercise at the beginning of every quarter. What you don't want is to be playing catch up, where let's say every time you reach your publication commitment cadence, let's say if it's weekly or biweekly or monthly, a day before you're scrambling trying to figure out what do you want to talk about. So ideally you have like a list of questions. I do it every quarter roughly, and then we batch write content. So that's how I would address the question of what kind, how do you find content. Now, as for the second part, which is if you can't afford a team of journalists, that brings me back to secret number two, which is work with ChatGPT and Bard. Now, you can't blankly take information and copy paste it, but it's a very good starter. So I always use it now to create a baseline content, and then I add my own unique insights into it. So that's like a really, really easy resource that's mostly for free that anyone out there can use in order to start creating content. And it's up to you to kind of add that editorial flair to make it stand out from a tone of voice point of view versus other brands. So I'm going to move on because we have quite a few questions. I'm quite chatty. What kind of content should we write for brands who sell safety products? Any ideas? So look, regardless of the industry you are all in, the same theory applies to everyone. You would need to do your market research, talk to the customers in your industry, prospects, talk to your competitors and see what questions their customers have. The idea is get out there on the field and really, really figure out what it is that people want answers to. So I am not in the safety product industry. So yes, I can hypothesize, but that is not the correct way to do it. So the correct guidance from me is do your field homework. And hey, worst comes to worst, you can even ask ChatGPT and see what ChatGPT has to say. Okay, so the next question is, you said Launchpad cohort will create and post under your supervision. What do you mean? Cool. So what this means is every week, based on the topics that we teach in the workshops, I'm going to send you with a workbook. And what this workbook is basically prompts and worksheets and toolkits and stuff like that, that is intended to take the course material and then have you apply the perspective of your business and to fill it out. And the idea is that instead of you can easily go on YouTube and find content and get workbooks, right? But the value we are adding here is access to our insights in a one-on-one office hour environment where we can supervise. As an example, let's say you want to build your newsletters. I'll give you a workbook that'll help you do things like think of newsletter design, think of what are the segments in the newsletter, and you would actually put one together. And then we would sit one-on-one and I would guide you on the various aspects like design, segments, the copy, the graphics you're using, things like that. If let's say one of your content objectives is to build a podcast, I'll give you a workbook that'll help you identify things like, okay, what will your album cover look like? What will the show name be? What's the show description? How many episodes? What's the format? And all these things that you need to think about that we already understand having done content for many years. And then as you fill out the workbooks, I'll actually sit with you and give you insights around, okay, is this title catchy? How does this album cover look? Is this description enough to give people an overview and to convert them as listeners and things like that? And really, really across all spectrums of products that I walked you through, which is blogs, newsletter, editorial content, graphic, podcast, and video. Moving on, I have an idea for a newsletter, but how do I come up with the structure and the name of it? And how do I find readers for my website/newsletter? Okay, so on the how do I come up with the structure and name, that's something that we will help guide you in the Launchpad. But actually what I'm going to do is, I think this is interesting. By the way, all the questions that are being asked on the webinar today, I'm going to sit back with my team and use it to actually create more content. So for those of you who don't know, we actually run a blog. So once a week, we have a blog that goes up on our website, sparkstudiosgroup.com, where we talk about different things related to content marketing. We actually haven't done a blog yet about newsletters, but I think that this is a good topic. And what we typically do in our blogs is we showcase examples usually from companies in the Middle East on how they're applying these various learnings that we're talking about. So perhaps what I'll do is I'll also, because I really love newsletters, talk about or reference some prominent newsletters in the Gulf and abroad that have catchy names and structures and things like that. Now, as for the how do I find readers for my website and newsletter, this goes back to building an audience. So the way you build an audience is you market, and you can market either through paid or organically. Now, because we at Spark Studios preach organic, the way you would go about promoting is figuring out what are the formats of content that people like to receive promotional material on. So whether they're reels, so like, let's say if you have a website that has videos, you would take little clippings, put it on Instagram if that's where your clients are. Or if it's a newsletter, you can make little carousels and put it on Instagram and things like that. But really also kind of seeing how do other companies in your industry market is a really good starting point that I always recommend. Okay, how do you create for multiple clients continuously at once? How much do you spend on one piece of content or client? The answer is it honestly really depends, because not every client has the same set of requirements depending on what it is that they're looking for. And we are very, very bespoke and custom in the way that we do branded content. It really has different time requirements, but we are a very, very fast and effective team, and we use the resources that I shared with you in Secrets 1, 2, and 3 to the best of our abilities in order to make us a content marketing engine, basically. There are so many questions. Okay, let me kind of run through it. What did you use before ChatGPT? This is a good one. How much longer did content take to make? Would you say your content is better quality thanks to ChatGPT? So a lot of little questions. Firstly, before ChatGPT, I wrote myself. And the way I personally write is I sit down at a computer and I just type. So I type in unstructured. I am still a structured person, but I basically just sit down and I type everything that's on my mind. And then what I do is after I've taken the information that I want to say, it's effectively I type out what it is that I want to say, I then sit and I group them. So these days, by the way, maybe secret number 4, when people land on a blog, very, very few of them actually read the entire thing. They scan. They first go to the title, and based on the title and how catchy the title is, they figure out, okay, do I want to read the rest of the blog? And then what they do is they scan, they read the headlines, and they look at the graphics. And usually, if they're interested in the particular headline and want to, let's say, and or read more about the graphics, they then read that particular paragraph. But otherwise, they scan. So the other thing that I do is when I have all my content that are blogs and then I want to publish it, other than just kind of writing it in a grammatically correct way, I then figure out, okay, how can I make this scannable? So I really, really keep brevity in mind. As for the last part of the question, would you say your content is better quality? It's not that it's so, okay, quality is subjective, but definitely it helps me create more. That is the whole point. It makes you more effective. So instead of sitting and trying to think from top of mind, I will actually type in these unstructured thoughts in ChatGPT. So going back to the template I gave you on how to put prompts, I give it my unstructured thoughts, and then it makes my process faster for me. One thing I do though, and that's because I have a certain humor in my tone of voice that I think ChatGPT is not aware of. What I do is I always kind of go in and I sprinkle my own tone of voice. So even though the content and information is there, I always add that touch of tone of voice. And that's what makes what you do very, very unique. All right, moving on to the next question. What are the main challenges faced when trying to engage individuals with personal finance, considering the prevalent lack of financial knowledge and interest among users? So this is an interesting question and actually quite relevant for, let's say, me as a creator specifically. And that's because I've worked with a lot of companies that are in the financial, let's say the finance industry, particularly in the wealth management phase, whether they're, helping customers gain wealth or build wealth in the public stock markets or through crypto or just through good old ETFs. The idea is really trying to humanize this content. Now, if you're in the financial industry, all of this makes sense, right? So like you may understand what things like interest rates mean and compounding interest and things like that, but a lot of people really don't. Now, sometimes even if you work on really awesome copy or you create graphics that resonate to you as someone in the industry, you'd be surprised a lot of people actually find that very, very intimidating. So like, even if it's like dumbed down language, but like, more of you, let's say you spell out your ABCs, it is still very, very, it could be difficult. Now, what I have found really, really works is the power of having the content be delivered by personalities and personas that your target audience are familiar with. So if I was to get up and talk about building wealth through venture capital, is very, very different than if Ashton Kutcher was to do it. So he, for example, is a recent prominent VC investor. And it just so happens that because of his existing audience that is outside the financial industry, people become more interested in that particular asset class. So what I would say is that if you are in the brand that is targeting a specific group of customers, go and find who are the influencers and personalities in that demographic and see how you can either partner with them and help them deliver your message and promote your product through sponsored content. Because by the way, not all content needs to be done branded and in-house. Collaborating is also a fantastic way to cross-leverage audiences. So yes, that is one thing that I would really, really kind of recommend doing, especially in the financial industry where a lot of people think it's super intimidating. Now, that being said, time has run up for Q&A. We had only 15 minutes, but my gosh, I've had so many questions come in. So I'll tell you what, actually, let me just do this real quick. Let me go next. I wanted to quickly tell you all that if you want to learn more about business media and content creation, go online, subscribe to our newsletter. That goes out every week. In our newsletters, we highlight what was the blog for the week. We wrap up what's going on in the world of business media. So we cover news stories. I always keep an eye out on cool case studies that I could reference. And I always add my thoughts on whether I think this is working or not. Our blog content, like I said, is super insightful, if I do say so, because there's lots of case studies. So instead of just telling you this is what you should do, I also point out this is how other people do it. We also have a whole bunch of downloadable toolkits that are available there right now for free. And these will help you do things like figure out what are your content pillars, how to set your digital strategy, and more. Now, as promised, because I told you, if you stay all the way till the end, you can book a consultation call. So this is another QR code. So perhaps what I'll do is I'll leave this on for a while instead of going to the closing slide. And look, if you have a question that if you have a question that you've put through that you haven't had answered, scan it, book a call with me as a thank you for attending the webinar. I will definitely use all these questions to help make more content for the studio, but also we can kind of get up and chat online. So that's it. Actually, thank you very much to everyone for coming. It was super wonderful to meet you. And I'm Shereen on behalf of Spark Studios. Have a wonderful day. Mm-hmm.